cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a bright and beautiful Monday, the last day of September. Also, Shana Tova to all the Jews for Happy New Year. It's the year 5780.
5780.
Yeah, 5780 on the Jewish calendar. So it's Jewish New Year today.
Shana Tova.
Yeah, there we go.
My favorite Jewish holiday.
Oh, yes?
You know why?
Why? Presents.
No, this is the time of year they have to ask for forgiveness, right?
That's Yom Kippur.
In a couple of days. Yeah. Still my favorite, yeah. I have all
why,
of my...
Do you have a lot to ask forgiveness for? It's not a... Yom Kippur is quite a serious day, whereas New Year is not so serious. It's more of a celebration.
When I have all of my Jewish friends who I have a gripe with, I'm like,
let's just forgive each other on Yom
Kippur. I'll hold on to it up until the day you have to come crawling back to me.
All right. How was everybody's weekend?
Well, it was all good and fun and games.
Oh, no.
But I just realized the way my life is just a comedy of errors.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
really stupid things that keep me busy. Wasting time.
Like what?
Well, for instance, I was innocently listening to some music. I usually plug in my Tivoli radio, gives me some nice sound. And the jack broke off in my laptop. So now my laptop thinks it's got headphones.
Oh, so it can't play any sound.
It can't play any sound.
Oh, no.
You know, just stupid things.
Do you
things.
Have a pair of pliers?
No, you can't pull that out. It's
tried
just,
with tweezers.
You can't get that.
You know, because usually when you pull it out, you've got to use some force. Yeah. Then I woke up yesterday morning and I couldn't open my one eye.
Huh?
It was...
Just your one eye?
Just the one eye. It was swollen shut. And then I touched it and it was very itchy. And I remembered in the night that one of my cats was spluttering.
Oh, God.
Because it has the sniffles, or snuffles, as they call it.
Yeah.
And it actually spat in my eye.
Oh, for God's sakes, you had an infection.
So I had an infection.
Oh, God.
So I spent yesterday wondering whether I should go to the emergency room or not.
You're a disaster.
Then I did some things for the family. I ordered some things online for my mom and aunt. They needed bags and vacuum cleaners. And I ordered two vacuum cleaners instead of one. So I've had to organize refunds for that. What else?
Well,
just a funny anecdote, really. You can get rid of the sad music. It's not sad at all.
All right. Tell me more.
I thought I'd be a really good tax person and get all my papers in order.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I haven't done is type out an invoice every month. So I did that and I needed her ID book. So I said, please bring me your ID. And she came over beaming with this little plastic folder of millions of ID photos.
Oh.
Of her family. And she started saying, this is my sister.
Oh, that doesn't help at all.
This is my sister. Oh, yeah. This is, and then this one is my dad's sister. This one is my auntie. So I said, but I asked for your ID. She said, oh, I thought you said my auntie.
Oh, God's sake.
But to think that she has this little bag that she carries around permanently with all of her family members.
All of them in it. I think that's quite nice, actually.
It is quite sweet.
Oh, all right. So,
just this morning on my way in, I saw a man on a bar stool on the highway.
A bar stool?
Excuse me?
He was just sitting on the bar stool on the highway waiting for a taxi.
Oh. Wow.
Not on an off-ramp.
Nice of him to put out a bar stool for him, though.
Yeah. I was wondering, does
now,
he is carry
a bar
it with
stool
him?
His?
Yeah,
yes. Did he just find it there?
I'm not sure.
How fantastic.
Sure. Yes. But I'm sure the rest of you had normal, happy weekends.
Not the happiest.
Wow.
How was your move?
It was up and down, really. I started moving on Friday, like I said.
Yeah.
Moved like some of the small stuff.
And
in
how many bucky loads was it, actually?
No, it was one bucky load.
Oh, really?
One bucky load.
Oh, you got it done in
managed
one.
Managed to get washing machine, fridge, couch, everything, all in one.
Very impressive.
Yeah, but then I started moving on Friday in my car. And I mean, I'm not used to being in traffic because I leave here at 2.
Right.
I left my old place, I think at around 4 to get to my new place. Obviously, the car full and everything. On the way, the car runs empty. Like, the light comes on, which is normal. Cool. I decide, you know what? I'm way too tired to stop at a garage. I'll drive all the way. And I'll fill up on Saturday morning.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Get there, park the car, get the stuff out, rest, sleep, whatever. And I wake up on Saturday morning with plans.
Right.
Get dressed, grab the keys, rush out the house.
Make it just in time.
Yeah. Get in the car and the car won't start.
You didn't have any fuel.
Yeah.
It drank the last bit during the night before it went to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How embarrassing and annoying and irritating all at once.
So frustrated. I was super frustrated.
And then you had to obviously phone and cancel your plans.
Yeah, well, I didn't phone. And it was luckily it was
but
family.
But you got your bike, don't you?
No, it's not. I don't own a bike. I'm a journalist, so I get to test bikes.
He rides other people's bikes.
I ride other people's bikes and crash them every now and again.
Okay.
Don't say that so much, otherwise they'll stop lending you their bikes.
Oh, sorry.
Idiot.
Yeah, sorry. Crashed on the track, which was allowed. Anyway, so I had to call an Uber to come get me, to take me to the petrol station.
To get a jerry can of petrol.
Yeah, and come back. Which is so embarrassing and frustrating.
But at least there wasn't anything wrong with your car. It was just you being an idiot and not filling it.
Yeah.
I've got to a point where I've got like 0 kilometers left on the clock. And I've rolled into a petrol station in neutral and just made it. I've never actually had an empty car.
No, I've done the full thing where I had a flatbed truck come and fetch my car before I realized it was just fuel.
I suppose it happens more than you would think, you know. It's something people just forget because you do. You kind of
forget or you try your luck, which I did.
I think a lot of it's trying your luck,
yeah.
I've sometimes gone, okay, leave the office and, all right, I've got to fill up on the way home. Then I'll get home and realize I didn't fill up. And then the next morning you shit yourself because you're like, I hope I make it to the petrol station because I've got nothing left here. There's a smell of fumes. That's all I've got left for the
driving on vapor.
Yeah. Anyway. I had a good weekend. Awesome. I had birthday parties. So there was one on Friday, one on Saturday, and one yesterday.
No. You have to buy presents?
Goodness.
I didn't buy presents for any of them, and I'll tell you why. Because
good man.
Yeah, well, the first one was at a sort of public place. It was a strip club, and it was a
I love how you tried to make public, it private dignified.
Place. Well, I was gonna try and go around the edges, but I'm just gonna go straight in. So it was a strip club. It was a friend of mine's wife who'd never been to a strip club, and she wanted to have her birthday there.
Oh wow!
So he organized for all of her friends and all of his friends to come and meet at the strip club. You know, it's the Grand down the road here, which is awesome. I love that place. And the food is just spectacular. And then, there's always plenty of entertainment. And everybody was just a really great crowd. And the whole thing was terrific. Got home at about 1 in the morning. So I Ubered to and from that one. And I actually felt quite fresh on Saturday. Managed to get other stuff done. Then on Saturday, I had to go and do a talk for a doctor's conference thing.
Life.
I know, it's crazy, right?
From the strip club to speaking to doctors.
Speaking to doctors the next
talking
morning.
Serious matters.
And then after that, I went to another birthday party. Friends of mine, they have a house in Midrand, and we went to their party, and it was outside, and it was such a beautiful day on Saturday. And then yesterday was a lunch for another friend of mine who was up from Cape Town with his wife. So it was a whole lot of like fun stuff this weekend, actually.
Now, for someone like me, Gareth, who's never been to a strip club, what goes down in there?
Well, pretty much.
How deep is it?
Everything.
Yeah. What do you see? How deep is?
No. Well, what do you mean? You mean are the girls totally naked?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, look, it's costly, huh?
Yeah.
As it turns out, on Friday, I don't think I paid for any dances, and I didn't get any because we were all just chilling and having fun. And you know, the girls kind of the birthday girl got a dance, which was hilarious. She loved it.
Oh yeah!
Now she's a total convert to strip clubs. And you know what people don't understand about strip clubs is, particularly the expensive ones, it's not a sordid place.
No.
It's not some kind of sleazy, you know, backroom knock shop thing where people go in and kind of, you know, it's like a whorehouse. It's not like that at all. It's actually really cool. It's just a nice,
it's so chilled,
fun,
so much better than a nightclub.
Yeah, it's such a no bullshit environment too. And you know, the waitresses are amazingly professional, better than at any club I've ever been to. They bring you these beautiful drinks. It's pricey, mm-hmm. so it keeps the crap, the scruffy stuff out, which I kind of like yeah. because, I mean, you don't want to go to a place and then have people who are going to get involved in fights or, you know, you don't want those kind of trashy people around. And it was really fun.
Well, I think it's also because of the one you went to. I know of people who've been to some
dodgy strip there are clubs. Really yeah. bad ones. And that's why I like, you know, there are probably two in this country that are on the top range. And then the others are all kind of somewhere else. But I mean, didn't we do a team building thing
there
once?
Yeah, we did often. I don't know if the lounge still exists. I don't think so. I had a booth there.
You actually had a booth named after you?
Yeah. So
what? How did that come to be?
Because I was there so often. You know, the other thing is, it's one of the places that stays open after about the bars close. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was important for Leanne once when she used to really hit it hard. When she used to jol hard, China.
Okay. Hey, China.
She needed a place to go after the place to go after the place to go. I hear you.
Look, I do often hear there's great food at strip clubs as well.
Well, no, this one. Not normally,
in general, no.
But this,
the Grand's got a solid, huge menu.
It is the best restaurant. I know people laugh at me when I say this if they haven't been, but it is the best restaurant in Johannesburg. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You can eat as much as you want. They've got
Gareth,
everything.
You don't go to a strip club to eat.
That's where
not
you're wrong.
You do.
Look, you don't know, so just listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
This place has the largest buffet selection of food.
It has they a tempura chef.
They have a tempura chef. They have a teppanyaki bar where they will make, they'll cook the stuff right in front of you. Mm-hmm. They have a sushi bar where you can get absolutely astonishingly good sushi. They have oysters. They have a selection of cakes and desserts that would blow your mind. They have every sauce ever invented by humankind on a range of sauces. There is so much food. You walk out of there like Obelix if you want to spend the whole night. And you can eat as much as you want. Look, you pay a big entrance fee, but it's all in.
And just to be clear, is the food separated from the actual strip stage?
So there's a restaurant part of it.
Oh,
and then
there's
a champagne bar where you... Let me tell you, there are champagnes on that menu that are over R1 million a bottle.
What?
Yeah.
Champagne that is over R1 million a bottle. I'm not kidding you.
You go into the bathrooms. The bathrooms are just beautiful. And you have a range of fragrances, top-end luxury fragrances to choose from, just to wear.
By the way, Leanne and I are not doing an infomercial here for Andrew Phillips and the
we
Grand.
We just really like it.
We really do like it. And it is a great place for like team buildings. And you know how well they treat women in there too.
Mm.
You know, girls that I've taken there and when I've been in a party of people and there have been girls, always feel very comfortable, very safe. It's just the most lovely. You can have coffee and tea there. It's civilized. Trust me, it's not all.
Feel so disappointed though.
It's not all gross and garish at all. Mm. Please, let's just remember. I mean, you know, I'm a history fan, right? Let's just remember that until the puritanical Christian era of the last, say, 1,500 years, before that, human beings didn't have a big deal issue with nudity. They didn't have a big issue with sexuality. They didn't have a big issue with sex in general. It's all of the stuff, all the rules around sex and the taboos around sex have been imposed by tradition and religion and culture, and sometimes inappropriately. Like, a lot of it is obviously appropriate. You can't go around and just, you know, bang anything you see. And no one walks around naked anymore unless they're mentally ill. But it used to be a very normal thing.
Barstool in the highway.
It used to be a very normal thing in African black culture for women to have their breasts out. It wasn't a big deal.
No one touched anyone.
No one touched it. And it wasn't sexual. It was just part of nature. It was part of what people did. Now suddenly we've got an issue with it. So when people hear that there's nudity or there are strippers, they're like, oh, that sounds rough and sounds dangerous. It sounds
good.
Dodgy. Yeah, we just got to embrace this stuff. Honestly, I was reading some articles over the weekend in between all of this about news that's going on and, you know, some of the stuff I'm interested in, like, again, just doing some research for Blind History. We've got some amazing episodes coming up for you. And I read a couple of these about how the ancient Romans and the ancient Greeks used to live. And, I mean, these people were as civilized. They had manners and customs and traditions
mm-hmm.
and a dignity to them that somehow between the fall of Rome and the beginning of the Renaissance, there was this huge gap where humanity was just, again, plunged into animal behavior. Especially, I'm talking obviously about Europe now, I'm not talking about the rest of the world. But Europe went through what they called the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, where people were really just mostly very coarse. They were violent. They had no manners or dignity or decency or civilization to speak of. It was all just kind of force and domination and all of that stuff. But if you go back a little bit further and you realize that like 2,000 years ago, people actually did know how to cooperate effectively and build sophisticated societies and things. We've lost some of that. And it dawned on me suddenly that we think we're so evolved now. And I'm sure that the ancient Greeks thought this too. Look at us. We've got philosophers like Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, and we've got brilliant ideas, and we've got the Acropolis, and we've got these gods and these goddesses, and we've got it all figured out, right? We know how to wage war, and we know how to keep peace, and all of this stuff. And then within 300 years, they were gone. And we could very well be in one of those stages of hubris where we think that we've figured it all out. And that we know everything.
We're actually less refined.
In some ways, we absolutely are. Just the way they used to greet each other, and the way that, you know, women were treated in society. And obviously there were classes. So I'm not talking about how people, the rough people on the street, used to behave, but there were certainly ways that certain people in society would behave. The patricians in Rome, for example, there was a huge amount of ceremony and ritual, and they just did things right. Whether it was, you know, when someone was born, when someone was married to someone, when they died, there were things that they did that were just, we don't even have that kind of respect for each other now, almost. So it's worth looking at this stuff and finding the context. It's just amazing. Gareth, is Gugu on Twitter? Are you?
No, that's the one platform I don't actually know how to use that well, and I just don't play around in that space.
Well, there
it's
we
full
go.
Full of bad people, actually. Yeah, well, trolls and shit.
You've never been on there.
I am on there, but I don't tweet.
Oh, you don't go,
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of us now. I think Twitter's actually losing subscriptions.
It is. It's the fastest declining,
really,
in terms of new subscriptions, social media platform in South Africa.
Awesome.
Around the world, it's still fine. And we're very different to America. We are in some ways behind. But in other ways, things like Pinterest in America are absolutely enormous.
And here they're not.
They've never really taken off to that level here.
Yeah, well, I can understand why Twitter's becoming less popular. Because it's just, as Gugu says, polluted by the most hideous people who in the last 5 years have been introduced to Twitter and have just completely subsumed it into their own ugly woke scold universe.
Oh, you mean Trump?
No, Trump's part of it for sure. He's definitely part of it. Well, here's an interesting message. This is fantastic. This is from Eddie, who says, I am a sexaholic. I love sex.
Oh, Eddie.
And I sex all the time. Here in Bangkok, I go to sexcapades. It's not called Bangkok for nothing. Sure, Eddie, tearing it up, huh?
Tearing it up proper. Go, Eddie. Wait.
You go, Eddie.
I don't know what to say there.
Yeah, so it was a fun weekend. I had a really good time.
One more question, Gareth.
Yes.
In a strip club, do you really need to practice proper restraint? And then,
well, Gugu, unless you're a wild animal of the field, let me tell you something.
Or unless you're a man, I don't know.
No, because there's a difference, and I take offense to the idea that just because you're a man, you can't contain yourself.
You gotta
walking around there like that.
Yeah, you behave yourself because first of all,
you got friends.
You're not allowed to do anything the girl doesn't want you to do.
Right,
you're there. You're paying to look.
Yeah,
that's what you're paying for.
No, by restraint, I don't mean touching, but self-restraint, physically. You don't want a third leg showing up out of nowhere.
Okay. You're with your friends in a public place. You're not going to be getting a hard-on. What's wrong with you? You'd be sitting
it's
with a whole bunch of...
I've never been there, Gareth.
I was sitting between three girls that I know.
Men are visual creatures. I am. I don't know about you.
I understand, but don't tell me that would happen to you because you're in public. I mean, unless you're a porn star and you just don't give a damn anymore, then obviously it's not a problem. And if you do, then you just quietly go about ordering another drink and calming yourself down afterwards like a human.
Or ordering a cold water with ice.
You're like a vicious animal. Oh, I mean, what's
very
wrong
primitive.
With you? What is wrong with you?
I'll go to the strip club one day.
Well, I'm not going with you.
Maybe one day when you're a grown up.
I'm not going to take you. See, I'd take Sia because I know he'd know how to behave. I wouldn't go with you because you would embarrass me.
No,
but how, Gareth?
You wouldn't want to take me. No. I used to think, oh, strip clubs are so overrated. Oh my gosh, it's like so stupid, the idea of it. Then I went to a Magic Mike show.
You like that? Did you behave badly?
I lost my shit.
So I wouldn't take you. So I wouldn't take you anywhere there were male strippers, but that's
a show. This isn't a show.
No,
it's just chilling out.
It's a real thing. One of my friends had the best yet also worst review of going to a strip club, and this is a straight guy who went to a strip club, and he said, granted, it is notoriously known as a very dodgy joint here in Joburg. And he said, I never thought I'd see such fresh caesarean scars before life. And I thought, oh.
Oh, boy. All right.
Okay, no. That's not the place to go.
Yeah, you know, look, everybody has their own thing. And I'm one of the people, apparently, who was invited on Friday. She took umbrage at this. It's like, you disgusting people. I can't believe you're going to a place like that for a birthday.
Well, we are.
So I'm like, yeah, really? You're so righteous and so wonderful that you're too good to set foot in a strip club? Mm. I mean, I know perfectly decent people who go to places like that. And they behave themselves and they have a good time and they go home and they have a happy relationship with their husband or wife. And it's not a big deal. It's only a big deal if you let it be a big deal. It's like anything. If you go to a bar and you get hammered and you behave like an idiot, that's more embarrassing, if you ask me. I just don't understand why anyone would be so judgy about something like that when there are real things to worry about.
Yeah, to each his own.
If Gugu wants to get loose in a strip club, no boundaries, he must go to the Royal Hotel or Summit in Hillbrow. Yeah, maybe that's where you should start off.
I'll probably get eaten there. It'll be too much of an experience like in Hillbrow.
And listen, by the way, the other thing that you need to know about these places, they cost a lot of money.
Mm.
You walk out of there and you go, sure, I should really have used that for my holiday.
Justice.
That's the kind of
money
we're talking
about. Yes.
Thousands and thousands.
Big money.
Thousands.
Yeah. One of my friend's bachelor's parties we did there, and I remember I gave him, because I got the bill at the end of it, and we all kind of pitched in, but... Mm-hmm. The bill was so substantial, I framed it and gave it to him as a wedding present.
What are we looking at, roughly?
Big.
More than 5,000 rands.
Oh, yes.
Over 10?
What?
Yes.
Yes.
Look.
If there were probably 12 to 15 of us, and the total bill must have come close to like 54,000 rand. Mm.
Excuse me?
Grand?
And we weren't buying expensive stuff. I mean, we weren't buying like bottles of really top level whiskey or any of that shit.
I mean, just one night and not that crazy. Of,
by the way, that doesn't include the strip.
So three of us. Jesus. And this was at a strip club on the East Rand.
Sure.
Don't ask me how I ended up there. But
Leanne's such an expert.
For three of us, for not such a wild night, it was 8,000 rand in total. Because you're also spending...
Does that
include... The booze is more expensive... That included entry, two dances, and two, alcohol.
Like lap dances?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. You see? So it gets pricey. Anyway, enough of all that. Bitlang says, morning, guys. The weekend was awesome. Life in the village is fun. I spent the weekend listening to those podcasts with broadcasters. Those things were real raw, informative, and honest. Yeah, I think you're referring to the Pure Conversations that we did with Vintuk, with Unati and Bonang. And Maschaba and Kuli, and then the previous one with Fresh and Spoo and Tibo Touch and Robert Marawa. Very, very cool things. I miss those times when people were just honest with everything. The panel selection in both was spot on. Well done, G. Please make that a regular thing. I want that, but it scares me because I know it'll end up being the same old bullshit and obvious different personalities will not deliver the same goods. Well, there are a lot of people that we did have on our list that we still have to get to. So we may do another one with the people who we didn't, either they were away or, you know, because I wanted Tumi Murake, I wanted Dineo Ranaka, I wanted Fat Joe, he's in Cape Town.
Gotta have Fat Joe, yeah.
I also wanted Anele, and she's really busy, so we have to work around her schedule. So I will see, but we're going to get all those people on. I think they're awesome. So thank you very much, Mpitleng, for the feedback. And then this is a little bit of an endorsement from Anushka. She says, I took my husband to the Grand 2 years ago for his birthday. I was so impressed by the perfumes in the bathrooms.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've made my husband do the same for me in my bathroom. I have a nice built-in shelf with lots of designer perfumes. I love it. So you get ideas.
Home decor ideas.
From the strip club.
Isn't that great? Oh, all right. So how was your weekend, Sia? What did you do?
I had my sister over from Durban, so we were just like spending a lot of time.
This is the one sister who still lives in Durban. The others are all up here, right?
Yeah, spent a lot of time just indoors, catching up and chitting and chit-chatting away.
Chatting.
But then I guess the highlight of my weekend was going to my tailor.
Oh.
Because I needed to get an outfit.
For Harry and Meghan this week.
Oh, yes, I did.
So did you take sequined fabric to your tailor?
So I have two options right now. Mind you, let me just make myself even more annoying right now.
Go on. I
called him last week and I was very smug about it. And I said, look, I know you're probably so booked and have no time for me, but I have a rather very important appointment next week that I need an outfit for. It's like, fine, whatever, I'll just make time for you on Saturday. And so I went over there and I said, yes, I need two clothing options, darling. I'm going to see the royals.
What did he say to
that? He was not impressed
at all. Oh, we ride over him?
Yeah. So I have two options right now. I have a bedazzled black jacket.
Ay.
And do you see, it's your reaction that I'm still umming and ahhing about it. And then I have a classic three-piece suit as well.
Do that. They're not impressed, but they've seen...
Everyone is wearing a three-piece suit, though.
No, Sia. Just do it. And also, it's not formal.
They see sparkles all day in the form of jewels and crowns.
Then my next option is to just go so corny. I should just wear like a traditional isiZulu beshu. Just be like,
if you want to stand out.
You see?
Yeah.
They don't see that in Spain.
Even Anthea is shaking her head at you disapprovingly. I don't blame her. Just don't.
I'm going with the bedazzled outfit.
All right, I haven't thought about it at all. Do you, Sia. All right, five things you need to know this morning. Here are the most important news stories of the day. Heart disease claims the lives of 225 South Africans every day.
What?
It's probably our biggest killer. Yep. Medical experts say around 225 people a day in South Africa die as a result of heart disease. Clinicians highlight that up to 80% of heart diseases and strokes can be prevented. Do you know why? Why are these people having heart problems?
I was about to ask you.
I know exactly why, because I'm one of them.
What is it?
So it's drinking, smoking, not exercising, eating badly.
Just being fat.
Having fat around your waist circumference. Stress. Yes,
correct.
Stress. Too little sleep. Sleep apnea.
There we go.
Give you heart problems. Even excess plaque can get on your teeth. Poor dental health can cause heart problems.
But the biggest one is...
And genetics, sorry.
Of course. Unhealthy diet, consumption of excessive alcohol, risk of developing cardiovascular disease is improved in those conditions. And a lot of South Africans, we're the only country I can think of where poor people are fat. Mm. No, really.
It's true.
This does not happen in India. It does not happen in Malawi. It does not happen in the Congo. It does not happen in... Tanzania. We're the only country besides America, which is obviously, you know, they've got the same problem. They've got exactly the same problem. People are not dying of hunger. They're dying of eating too much.
How do poor people just like get fat?
Because
mostly the diet.
Unhealthy food is cheaper.
Carbohydrates,
It's cheaper to get a McDonald's burger than it is to have a salad.
Fried chips.
You look on a restaurant menu now.
The the unhealthy foods, the cheap stuff.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. A toasted, sloppy toasted sandwich and chips is 40 rand, and a butter bowl or a salad bowl is like 95.
Salad, 95 rand for leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because that stuff is fresh produce. It needs to, you know, it's got a shelf life and all that's going. You know, you buy a packet of frozen chips and then drop them in oil and
fish fingers.
Cook them. It costs you just about nothing. The point is that I always get accused of being a fattist and of being mean to fat people. But my God, someone has to. If we keep on saying that it's acceptable, we're just going to have to keep on paying for people to go to hospital, and we're going to have to keep on seeing. No, seriously, we're seeing death. We're seeing people die because they cannot control their diet. Now, I have a sign up in my house that says no communists and no fat people allowed. And I enforce that rule strictly, and I've never had a bad crew of people there as a result.
So what do you do when a fat person approaches?
I don't invite them.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Look, there are they're extremes like you, okay?
Yes. They must learn. If they want to come, they must lose some weight for their own good, not for me.
I got a friend who's got a sticker on his car, no fat chicks allowed, and he's strict about that.
What is the number, Gareth?
I don't know. This goes against every grain of what the world is trying to be at the moment.
I know. We're trying to
It's not trendy, let's just say that.
But that number's scary, though.
225 people a day, Sia.
And this is largely preventable.
Totally preventable.
Mm. Well, not genetics.
There are genetic factors.
Yeah, that's why I say largely.
Sure. And there's a difference between being overweight and being obese and being morbidly obese, okay? Mm-hmm. And you've got to figure out, if you're overweight, a lot of us are overweight. Overweight just means you got a certain body mass index and it's too high, right? Mm. And for most of us, if you do the tests, you'll find you're a little bit over. That means you're overweight. And that goes all the way to being functional. You're able to like go up a flight of stairs without huffing and puffing. You can run to your car if there's an emergency. You're functional.
Run away from your car if it's on fire.
Correct. But then you get obese people who are, they're starting to become totally sedentary. They don't move around at all. They don't make any effort to exercise. They're eating horrendous food. And they become a problem because they develop conditions like heart disease and all kinds of other conditions too, which make it very difficult for them to live. Quite apart from the fact that they're uncomfortable all the time.
In the
summer, they're boiling hot. They don't enjoy. Nobody enjoys being enormous, right?
Mm.
No one likes being obese. I'm sure there isn't a single person who can say, I'm truly happy being obese. And if they are,
no,
and
it's very rare, very rare that you'll see these sort of freaks of nature who either men are turned on by it, they just
feeders.
Yeah. You do get rare instances like that.
So I'm not, when I have a go at fat people, I'm not talking about people who are overweight. Okay, we all know someone who's overweight, and we don't have a problem with that because we understand that they're struggling just like us. But I'm talking about people who've just totally given in. And they're just obese, and they're just getting fatter and fatter, and they're doing nothing about it. When you get to a certain age and your blood can't go around your body anymore because there's so much adipose tissue.
What we call non-essential fatty acids.
Dr. Liam.
No, I just made it up.
Oh, that sounded so professional.
All right, enough. Let's stop knocking the fat people. You get the basic idea. But I've always been on this side of it, and I'm going to continue to fight for fat people. In respect of them having to look after themselves and lose their weight. And I'm not going to be one of those people who just goes, oh, don't worry, you're just beautiful the way you are. Because those people they're doing you no favors.
You're going to fight.
Of course I am. I'm fighting for fat people.
Oh, yeah, fighting for them against them.
Only one who's telling them that they need to change. Everyone else is like, no, but you're beautiful just the way you are. It's not true. It's cruel. First of all, you're being a hypocrite.
And you're lying.
And second of all, you're hurting them in the long run because they're not going to feel good about themselves, even if you tell them they should.
I think it's hugely a cultural thing in
South Africa. Did you
have to use the word huge? Where you need to be fat in order to be accepted in your culture. Because if you're not fat, you are either unattractive as a woman.
Or you're not prosperous.
Or you're not prosperous, or you have AIDS.
Mm.
There is
that's a good
thing
to
about
bring up.
Are you sick? You've lost weight.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
All right, South African Airways said the threat of a pilot strike contradicts the position adopted by both parties. On Thursday, pilots warned that they would embark on industrial action if the airline refused to meet their demands. They want the national carrier to be restructured as a matter of urgency. The Pilots Association has already delivered a memorandum of demands to management. They want unexperienced top executives to be fired and replaced by qualified personnel.
Makes sense.
Doesn't strike me as a bad idea. So good luck to the Pilots Association. In any case, who do we need most? Management of SAA or pilots?
Management.
No.
Oh, sorry. Pilots, yes, they're flight.
Think it through. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. Thank you. The Ex-Political Prisoners Association expressed its support for workers at the Robben Island Museum, who said that they were fighting corruption. The workers' salaries were late this month due to a technical glitch. Spike, one of our producers here, was on Robben Island just 3 weeks ago, and he told us it was a terrific tour. They had a really good former prisoner who showed them around the island and told them the history of the various places. And it's really a good trip to go on, but it seems like the management there are also a bit crooked. Apparently, the association's Mpho Masemola said this case was the latest in a string of suspicious dealings at the museum, which earlier this year procured a ferry worth 1 million rand from Singapore.
Jeez.
We've been saying for some time they've violated Treasury regulations. We get a copy from Treasury which said they were not supporting them to buy a boat from outside South Africa, while the country has companies that can produce the same boat. Prior to purchasing the ferry, Robben Island Museum consulted and engaged with all the relevant departments, including Treasury, to ensure compliance, they said. That's the museum's Moronghoa Ramabua, who said the purchase of the 285-seater ferry was above board. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, because that's one of our national heritage sites, and lots of people come to South Africa just to go and see the island that Nelson Mandela was held captive on, and where so many political prisoners both were incarcerated and died. Residents of a housing development in Mitchell's Plain claim they've been saddled with high water bills and the city of Cape Town is demanding payment. The claims come amid confusion over who's responsible for the bills. On Sunday, the community said, according to an agreement signed when the development was established 6 years ago, the company is supposed to pay. The company denies this. Well, who was using the electricity is usually the person who has to pay.
Right.
So I don't know what's happening there, but you know, this happens in Joburg all the time too, where people get bills and they're like, well, I don't know if this is my bill.
No, it wasn't me. No, then who was it?
If you used the electricity, it was you. And speaking of electricity and energy in general, the Energy Department has announced that the price of 95-octane petrol will
rise.
Increase, correct, by 18 cents a litre.
And 93 will fall.
Yes, from Wednesday.
I use 93.
So
I'm kind of happy.
Price of, and diesel, Gareth?
Price of 95 octane is now 16 rand 21 per litre. It's the eighth consecutive hike since the beginning of the year. The increase was predicted by the Automobile Association on the back of oil strikes in Saudi Arabia. The department said the price of 93 octane, however, will drop by 4 cents a litre, as Leanne already said. Diesel and illuminating paraffin will increase by 25 cents a litre.
Well, thanks for that.
That's the highest increase. Again, I've got to get rid of this shit car of mine. All right, there we go. Those are the most important things you need to know today. Let's get Anthea Gardner in here and let's talk to her about what's going on with your money this morning. There's lots of good news and interesting stuff coming up as well a little bit later on. Make sure you stick around for that. We've got Jarette Petzer, who's coming in, the founder of I Am Staying. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah. Yeah. The Facebook group.
Have you seen it? Tell us what you know.
I've only heard of it.
Yeah?
What do you know?
But it's all about people who want to stay in South Africa and make it work.
In light of what has been happening in the country over the past couple of weeks, it's now like more than 300,000 odd people involved in it. It's quite massive.
Yeah, it's a very big Facebook group and it's just growing and growing. And we thought we'd need to find out who this is. And we're going to talk to them a little bit later on about all of that. But first, here she is.
My favorite version.
It's the trippy version of Leanne, of Anthea's song. She works hard for the money. Here she is. Go. Take it away.
She works hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
That's right. Here she is. Hey, Anthea, what's up?
Good morning. I can see why we needed that this morning.
Anthea, I heard you had to smoke a lot to get your voice that low for that recording.
A lot, yes. Yeah. And some training beautiful. As well.
Leanne Manis gave her lessons. All right, so why do you think we needed that version this morning?
Oh, it's month end, and it's just, you know, everything happens at month end. So, and again, the politicians are driving me insane. I feel like I want to get out of this world sometimes.
Did you hear, like, I kind of like Edward Kiesvetter because I know he's a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's good for SARS because he's also quite scary and he's the way that... No, the way the tax man should be, right? But scary. He goes on TV last week and I saw the gist of what he was saying is that we're all responsible for the disaster that we're in. And I felt like, you know, climbing through the TV and actually giving him a smack because we're not all responsible. Taxpaying citizens have done what they've always done. They've followed the rules, they've paid their taxes, and now this guy's saying, no, we're all complicit in the situation where... No, we're not.
Reference to what?
The fiscus, the problem that we've got with how much money the country owes, how much has been stolen. I'm like, no, we're not all thieving.
That's a bit cheeky of
him. It is cheeky. It's like taking the ANC's collective responsibility and applying it across society. It's not true. Most people are not deceitful, thieving sons of bitches like the government are.
To put a fine point
no,
on
we're
it.
Really not. And people who are paying tax, and that's the middle class in this country... You can't blame them. They're the only ones keeping the whole machine running.
It's funny because I didn't hear last week's speech, but I have previously heard him talk about taxpaying citizens and how great we are and what we're doing right. So I'm surprised to hear him say that.
Yeah, I was too.
It seems a bit...
Very disappointing.
And that's very unlike Edward to throw out something like that.
His political bosses might just be putting some pressure on him.
Either way, politics. Yeah. Politics across the oceans. Let's talk about that just very, very briefly.
All right.
So, you know, they started impeachment process on Donald Trump. I mean, he's not the first U.S. president to have impeachment process started.
Well, I think he'd only be the fourth.
No, I think there's a lot more, actually. So I looked this up. I mean, there's the obvious ones. There's Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. And then Jackson.
And Andrew James Jackson. Buchanan.
James Buchanan.
Andrew Johnson.
Okay.
John Tyler, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, but not all of them were successful. And I think that's what you're saying, right?
I think so.
So I think the successful ones...
I thought it was much less, but okay.
Wow. Yeah, so those who have impeachment proceedings started against them. So we'll see where this goes. But I tell you what, I walked into the office the next morning, and everyone was going, what do you think this is going to do to the market? And I was like, does anyone really care? I mean, so it's quite a funny old thing. But it did have an impact because the S&P, when it started, the S&P fell its biggest drop in a month that day. So we do know it's negative for the market.
Okay. Well, of course, it's any instability, any uncertainty just makes traders scared.
And in the UK, we've got Boris Johnson.
Yeah, there's even more uncertainty there.
I honestly
thought... No deal Brexit's what... it's the end of next month.
End of next month,
So they've still got a month to tidy themselves up.
But I thought Johnson would be the shortest serving prime minister in Britain. 63 days he was last week Thursday. So today, call it 70 days. George Canning was the shortest at 119 days. And I think he died in office.
Oh, wow. So in other words, there are new records being set.
Hooray. She said, rubbing her hands.
Yeah. this is not good news, though, for the markets.
No,
and of course, the China trade war continues to... To irritate
do you know
and
that that's been
people.
Going for a year? We've been speaking about that for a year. I feel like...
It seems even that Trump is changing his mind on this. You know, you and I always said, if you're going to be a free market kind of person, then let the free market make the decisions.
Yeah.
And here we've got Trump interfering. And he's supposedly a free market guy. And he's doing what is essentially protectionism.
I think Trump goes where the wind blows.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's just trying to... get popularity points up.
Yeah, because last week in front of the UN, he stood up and criticized Beijing. This is after the week before. He said, oh no, things are going really well. We're negotiating well. The man can't make up his mind, honestly.
Yeah. All right.
And all of that, you know South Africa follows global markets. And as of Friday, because it's month end today, I checked, the all share index was down 5% for the quarter, and it could be the worst third quarter performance in 9 years. Hmm. Mostly property and construction sectors leading the way down, so that's the worst.
That's terrible.
It's awful. It's just horrible to see this happen. But despite all of this, we still managed to raise $5 billion in our biggest ever Eurobond sale. Now, I know this is going to sound counterintuitive, but a Eurobond is a South African government-issued bond in dollars, not euros. Hmm. The name just happens to be Eurobonds.
Okay.
So, we raised $5 billion. We wanted to raise $4 billion. That was the government's aim. It was 2.7 times oversubscribed. So what happens now, in fact, is that we've got an extra $1 billion for next year's fiscus. The problem, and everyone's like, wow, that's exciting because it shows that global investors are looking to South Africa and investing in South Africa. And yeah, I guess that's kind of true, but it really is a yield play. So there were two notes, the 10-year and the 30-year maturities, and the 10-year went out at 4.85%, so government's paying 4.85% in dollars.
Right.
Take note of this one, because as the exchange rate changes, their interest payment goes up or down, and 5.75% for the 30-year, and so obviously global investors are going, oh, I can get almost 6% in dollars, where if I invested in EDF, which is the French electricity utility, I get 1.5%.
Wow.
Yeah. So I tried to look and see where emerging market government bonds, euro bonds were trading. And they really are all over the place. So I kind of thought, oh, that's a waste of time. But it really is about the yield. And so as I was saying, everyone's very excited that we're able to raise money from the global investment community. But actually, if you think about it, what we've done is increase our debt-to-income ratio. Because it's not like, as Edward Kiesewetter said, it's not like our income has increased, but our debt still has increased. You know, we've borrowed more money. So I think the budget speech, which, by the way, was delayed, it's now on the 30th of October. I think it's going to be a difficult one.
All right. Very difficult one. Okay.
And then lots of company news, very peculiar company news for like Pick n Pay. Here's the headline for Pick n Pay. Total debt increased to 17 billion rand from 1.6 billion rand. 10 times it increased in a year.
Sure.
Like what a crazy headline, right? But actually it was just an accounting issue. So all they've done is taken IFRS 6 and said that their theoretical lease liabilities now have to go onto the balance sheet, which all sounds very complicated, but it's not. So obviously Pick n Pay rents a lot of stores, right? And the accounting practice is now saying that actually they have to reflect their rental payments out for however long those rentals are. And that's how that happened. But when I saw the headline, can you imagine?
Yes, absolutely. No, that's pretty terrifying.
Pale. And Pick n Pay said they still have no long-term debt, and so it actually doesn't affect their risk profile or their liquidity or ability to raise funds, so they're fine.
Okay.
What else? Oh, we have to talk about this banking strike, first of all, very briefly, because, you know, first, SASBO were going to have the first banking strike in like 100 years or something.
Yes.
And then last week, Thursday, the Labour Court ruled that it was unconstitutional or illegal, whatever. And so they had to call off the strike. And then on Thursday, Capitec put out results saying that where all the other banks were firing people or retrenching or letting people go, Capitec are hiring people. So they're hiring another 600 people in the next couple of months where everyone else is laying off.
How do they buck the trend? Tell me, how have they figured this out and the others haven't?
So definitely it's a change of the model, right? So they're targeting lower LSM groups, very strong customer growth. They're still adding 200,000 new clients per month.
Wow.
And this is over the last month. They now have 12.6 million active clients. They've introduced the credit card, which has increased by 71% in the last year. So they really are targeting they're advertising, marketing low fees, promising low fees and higher returns. And I think the consumer's just woken up and saying, well, actually, you know what? I don't really care for free airport lounge
I just want access. Cheaper rates.
Yeah, just give me, don't charge me so much for having a check account or Absolutely. Credit card or whatever it is. So yeah, some really great numbers out of Capitec. So even their income from operations rose 7%, which in an environment where everyone else is retrenching and cutting jobs and, you know, Capitec's doing that. And of course, they're very much focused on as few branches as possible, really doing digital. Their app transactions doubled, which is fantastic. So really people, I think, just are cottoning on to this new way of doing banking.
Fantastic.
And I don't know if you remember, in 2018, good for them, by the way.
I mean, like, we've got so many bad news stories. Good for Capitec that they're managing to do all of this.
Indeed.
In a depressed economy. It's very good.
Yeah. So the one thing we look at, when we look at the banks, we watch very carefully our bad debts, obviously. And in an environment like this, when the consumer's under pressure, they've borrowed money, they lose their jobs, or they can't afford to repay their debt, that is the one thing that does worry us. And so we're watching that very carefully and really hoping that Capitec is not another African bank, because that is what caused the demise of African Bank.
Yeah.
And then while we're on the financial sector, OUTsurance are saying that they're selling their New Zealand insurance business, UE, which is a short-term insurer, to Tower Insurance, which is New Zealand's third largest general insurer. And OUTsurance have said they're going to unlock value. And this is not just about the potential transaction, which is between 94 and 122 million rand.
Right.
This is actually about releasing capital of 400 million rand. So if you're a bank, insurer, asset manager, you need liquidity requirements. You need to meet liquidity requirements, and you have very stringent insurance for key personnel and that sort of thing. And in OUTsurance's case, UE is costing them, in inverted commas, costing 400 million rand a year, because that's how much money you have to put aside. No, I know.
That's hectic.
Yeah, it's very. Right. And of course, you know, you can't get access to OUTsurance because they're not direct access, I should say, because they're not listed on the JSE. But you can get access to them through RMI, Rand Merchant Insurance Holdings, which also owns Discovery. I mean, so you can either buy Discovery directly, or you can have Rand Merchant Insurance, which 40% of Rand RMI is made up of Discovery and OUTsurance. So you can get through that.
Okay.
And then the last financial services business that reported last week was Exponent. And for those who have been in the market as long as I have, you'll know that they used to be John Daniels Holdings.
I don't remember that.
Sounds like a cigarette brand.
It does too, doesn't it? John Daniels Holdings. Well, they're a venture capital investment holding group. They said that their loss was going to be increase 195%.
Sure.
They're going to make a loss of 6.6 cents per share, and the share is only trading at 14 cents per share.
Mm.
So I got a news flash this morning about Forever 21.
Yes, I know all about that. So they're filing for bankruptcy. A couple of weeks ago,
really?
They said they were going into liquidity because they grew too quickly. They opened too many stores. And finally, this weekend, whenever it was, Sunday, yesterday, Tuesday, Saturday, I don't know, they said that they're filing for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Wow.
Interesting, I know.
And they apparently just opened too many stores.
Exactly. Expanded too quickly. And you know, I think...
So they're permanently 21, not forever 21, semi-permanently at the moment.
Help yourself.
In transient 21.
Mm.
Okay.
Maybe 21.
Just had to go
sometimes.
Down there.
Sometimes.
All right, so we spoke about Blue Label the other day. What's the new, what is the latest there?
So they put out their results last week. This is a super interesting one. The share fell 10%, another 10% after releasing results. And this, by the way, is after the JSE threatened to suspend the share because they kept delaying their results.
Oh my God.
So revenue's down 3% to 25.9 billion down. Headline loss, they're making a loss per share of 3 rand and 12 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the core businesses of Blue Label, like providing airtime, data starter packs, sure, prepaid electricity services, are actually profitable. The issue here is Cell C, which, as you know, made a loss of 8 billion rand. This is compared to the previous year's loss of 656 million rand. So, humongous. I mean, just absolutely crazy. You know, Cell C, sure, when we spoke, I can't remember if I told you this, but when we spoke about it the last time, they'd been downgraded and they were unable to pay their debt. They have 9 billion rands worth of debt on their books. And this is for a company that makes 22 billion rand a year in revenue, not profit, revenue. So they're obviously doing something wrong on that scale. The interesting thing about Blue Label, which the market seems to be completely dismissing, is that they've sold two businesses to the value of 1 billion rand. This is a company with a market cap of 3 billion rand. So it doesn't make sense for the share to fall another 10%. So I think the market suspects that there's something else going on that they're not putting in their results. The market's just not giving them the benefit of the doubt for this 1 billion rand that they're suddenly going to get for selling businesses.
Hectic.
Mm-hmm. It's a big story, I think. One to follow closely.
All right. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's enough for today, don't you think?
I think
she says with a big sigh.
Taking it out of us. Fair enough. All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.
Work hard for your money.
Yeah, we gotta.
There we go. That's your money update for this morning. CliffCentral.com. I hope you are having a fantastic start to your day. We are going to take you into the month of October, which starts tomorrow.
Ooh.
That's
a rousing response.
Well, as Anthea said, month end, you know how it goes. All right, so I hope you are ready for your day to get cracking properly. We'll get to some news. We'll talk to one of our invited guests on the I'm Staying Facebook page, someone called Jarette Petzer, the founder. And a little bit later on, we'll also take your calls on 0797482090. Get into it. You know what to do. CliffCentral.com.